Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. But the days of Zechariah warned of upon us. Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Flashpoint, the Spark in Ignite's World. Do you see any potential sparks in the world, Stephen?
You know, Bonnie, it's funny because, well, it's not funny, ha-ha type funny, but as I'm watching the things that are happening right now in Europe with Russia, et cetera, you know, in one way, I think we could probably still just safely say Syria in reality probably really is the spark, even if it doesn't, the bullets are not fired from Syria originally. It definitely seems to be the sparking place, because as I'm watching the things that are happening, I know that just the other day, Bolton visits in Armenia, and he makes the statement to them, or I don't know if he visited them or just made the warning. He tells the Armenian prime minister or president, whatever he's called there, stay out of Syria. And the Armenian president says, we're only sending humanitarian aid. He said, you know, they were sending containers of humanitarian aid. And he said, well, I will tell you again, you need to stay out of Syria and stay out of this war. And it's just kind of awkward because it all comes down to that, it seems to be. And of course, Bolton goes, he visits with President Putin. And of course, President Putin catches Bolton completely off guard. He mentions the U.S. seal with the eagle, and in one hand, the eagle's carrying 13 arrows. The other hand, the eagle's got an olive branch, and he asks him straight up, which one are you bringing? The olive branch or the arrows to fight, you know, because he says we're preparing for war. And I can see why. I mean, and maybe, Bonnie, this is one thing that people are not really paying attention to. And some of this actually caught me off guard. A good friend of mine, his name is Lorenzo. He's an Italian journalist. He operates a website called Already Happened. And he just sent me this morning a couple of articles that he just wrote. And one of those, of course, was in the month of October. The United States sent the largest amount of weapons to Germany, and that was at the Ramstein Air Base in Germany, the largest shipment since 1999. And the last time we sent that type of munitions there was because of the bombing campaign. 900 sorties were flown in Eastern Europe, and on a 78-day campaign. And now we have topped that amount in the 100 containers sent there. And in the photographs, you see just enormous number of JDAM bombs. JDAMs, for those that don't know what that is, the type of ordnance that is, these are the bombs that they put under planes that when it hits a building, there'll be no building left, and there'll be a crater in the ground about, I would say about 10 feet deep. And of course, you know, the circumference of the crater will look like a meteorite just struck the earth or something, maybe about 60 feet in diameter, maybe bigger, 100 feet in diameter. I'm not sure exact circumference that it leaves, but this is some heavy duty firepower. And then on top of it, we are seeing the destabilization all around Russia. We're also seeing, too, that and this has been reported on Sputnik. Well, Sputnik took it one way, and then referral.org also spoke about the problems happening right now with Ingushetia and Chechnya. There's been a lot of protests there, and they're trying to restore diplomatic ties with Tbilisi, which is right there with Georgia. And they're refusing to. It is nothing but, you know, trying to restore the diplomatic ties, and it's nothing but hostile actions on an international scale. And there, you know, there's those that are saying that it's contributing to the NATO strategy of containing Russia. And so it's really becoming a very dangerous situation. And then we have another thing that's happened first time in nearly 30 years, and that's the USS Harry Truman that's operating in the Norwegian seas, part of the exercises Trident that the United States is involved in right now. They have the USS Harry Truman up there in the Norwegian seas. We have an enormous amount of tanks and military equipment there on Russia's border, doing the practicing there. And, of course, I kind of think, too, Bonnie, that was probably to send a message to Russia because, Russia also did their war games. And I had a friend of mine that was actually there when Russia had all the equipment there with China. And I never in my life seen so much military equipment in one location. It is, and in fact, it was being stated that it was the largest war games in history of Russia with all this firepower. But now we're watching Russia moving its military assets. They're moving it down towards the Georgian border. I'm sitting here looking at a video footage here of a majorly long column of military equipment that was headed down to Georgia near Chechnya. And, it's not looking good as far as in that region of the world. And, we see, too, I'm watching there's a lot of European allies for the United States that are not very happy with the way things are going with this new deal of President Trump wanting to back out of the nuclear arms deal that was signed between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev back when they were in power. And President Trump is saying that Russia has violated the treaty, so therefore the United States is going to pull out and we're going to just start building bombs until everybody gets the idea that we mean business. And then there's one thing, Bonnie, that did catch my attention, and Murat brought this out. He's an RT reporter, and he was quoting where President Trump was saying that he was a nationalist. And he said, "I'm not a globalist, I'm a nationalist." And that would really be good. We could really say that's true. But the problem that we keep seeing is that the only way that President Trump is trying to make America great again is by building bombs and sending them all overseas to have our children fight these wars in all these other lands. I mean, right now, currently, we have 7 conflicts, different zones in the world that we are involved in, and we're not slowing down. We continue to send weapons. We continue to fight the battles overseas, and Americans continue to die for this. And, that's not making America great again. I mean, I realize in the case of the Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi journalist that was living in the United States when he died through this horrible crime that was committed against him in Turkey when he went to the consulate's office there and they murdered this man brutally. It's interesting to see how the United States just basically threw this whole ordeal under the rug in the face of the deals with Saudi Arabia is the largest in the world. They're the largest contributor to our economy. And of course, thousands and thousands of jobs, because that's how we're making America great again. I think we can make America great again by rebuilding our infrastructure, rebuilding our industry, and making friends with our neighbors around the world and selling the best products in the world as we were once known as that type of a nation, that we always had the best things, best products in the world that you could ever possibly find. But we've managed to allow to send all that overseas, and we've made China one of the greatest nations in the world now as a result. And, and it's just becoming a major problem now. And then too, Bonnie, I know I'm rambling here, kind of going off maybe, but you had mentioned to me earlier before coming on the broadcast about the wave of refugees that are headed to our southern border. When I saw this, and then I was watching one of the reporters who was speaking about this as they were making their trek across Mexico, he said the majority of them are men only. And he said they're coming to America to get better money because they only make $5 a day in Honduras and different places they're coming from, whereas here they could make twice that in an hour. Well, again, though, I see the same situation that happened in Europe during the war with Syria, I'm seeing happening now coming to our southern border as well. And in Europe, they opened up the doors, the floodgates poured through, the people came in masses, and ironically, it's Western Europe where all the migrants have gone to. You rarely see any of them in Eastern Europe. In the Czech Republic, where we live part of the year, we have very few migrants. Hungary, they won't let them in at all. Poland, another country, will not allow it. But all the more advanced nations of Europe that have more of the freedoms, and that's what you got to pay attention to. The ones that had freedom, freedom of speech, decent economies, these are the nations where all the migrants came to. Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Netherlands, France, England, and now they're just amassing like crazy in there. And of course, the violence is unbelievable. And even Putin, President Putin said, look, work with us. Send the refugees home to Syria so we can rebuild the nation, and it would also take the violence off your doorstep. But, you know, they're playing that card. There's a reason they want to keep these people here. So now they're telling all these Syrians that came up into Europe as part of the refugee crisis, not even counting the ones that come from Africa through Libya and into Spain. But this has turned into a major ordeal in Europe. And now NATO is saying to the refugees, oh, if you go back to Syria, Bashar al-Assad is going to imprison you and you're going to be considered, defectors of the military. But Bashar al-Assad had already made an agreement, signed the documentation that he will not prosecute any of those that have defected and left the military and went while they were out. Because he's trying to rebuild his country. So that tells me there's a plot and a plan for a destabilization of the nationalist type of countries. You have to understand Eastern Europe is not as big a problem. Why? Because they were under communism. They still live a socialist lifestyle, and they're very much, their mindset is still easily brought into a communist way of thinking. Now, the younger people know, much of the younger people, and a lot of Eastern Europeans wanted to be free, period. So I'm not trying to undermine our European friends and stuff by saying this, but living there, especially like in Slovakia, you don't see it as much in the Czech Republic. They really value the freedoms of Americans, and they really have taken hold of that. But you get into places like Slovakia, and you can still see the mindset of a communist nation under a communist way of thinking. But that's why you don't see many migrants in those parts of the world, because they don't need to overthrow that. So this, I think, is what's happening, Bonnie, with our southern border right now. They are bringing these migrants up intentionally. Now, President Trump, he's saying he's not going to let them in. Now, as I watch this, I sometimes wonder, Bonnie, if this is not all for show. You got to play the tough guy, but in reality, they're going to end up in the United States regardless. Now, maybe President Trump really genuinely means he doesn't want them here. He'll send his military to stop it. At the same time, it's also creating a very volatile situation with the left. And unfortunately, I've seen too much when I worked with this government, and I know that both sides, the people really think that these two groups hate each other, but for the most part, they don't, Bonnie. They don't hate each other. They're working together for an ultimate goal, unless you get in a decent guy that really does care. You get someone in, like, say, for example, Ron Paul. In fact, Daniel McAdams was on our program the other day, and we had discussed some issues that were going on in the world. But Ron Paul always seemed to be like the kind of guy that just wants peace and prosperity. Although I did catch something he said that really took me by surprise. Ron Paul had stated that he was being quoted as saying, I was listening to one of his programs one time, and Ron Paul said that Jerusalem was supposed to be an international city, He said he was kind of surprised when President Trump moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. He said, but all along, he always thought it was going to be an international city. Well, that was the Vatican's plan, and that's what was signed in the United Nations resolution back right before Israel became a nation, that Jerusalem would be an international city. So that was kind of interesting, because I don't like that idea myself, but that's what he actually stated there. But, you know, the thing is, go ahead.
You know, I don't know. Increasingly, I don't know if Trump is doing anything that would convince me once again that he is not working with the deep state. I mean, he's made a few jobs. You know, he said, you know, he repealed, or he wouldn't sign NAFTA again, but then he signed something else. And I'm not certain what that new something else was.
He signed there, Bonnie, basically is creating the Amero zone. We are going to end up, and I think this is another reason why they're sending all these refugees here.
Yeah.
We're going to end up becoming Europe's Eurozone. It looks like that Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and all of Central America is going to end up becoming one big giant nation.
Which is their plan from the beginning. This is the UN Region 10, according to the UN, when they have global control, this is Region 10. It's North America. What do they call it? It's not the Amero zone, but they already have the Amero as the money of this zone. Yes. They already have the flag ready. And these people coming up from the South in Central America, they are statistically the most violent people in the world. They comprise 8% of the population, but they commit 38% of global murders. They are the absolute most violent. They come here citing their own countries are filthy, corrupt, and there are no jobs. And 98 million Americans are out of jobs, and they want to come here and work at a non-living American wage, and they call it good.
Sure.
And the whole purpose, probably, considering that this is a chess match between good and evil, this is to defeat the Christian influence of America, of Americans, of Christians in America and Canada.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing is, Bonnie, that one thing that I've noticed when you mention about President Trump, they need a war between Russia and the United States to pull off what the New World Order is going to do. And so when Putin says he's preparing for war, he really is preparing for war. But he can't justifiably get into a war with the United States without there being a provocation. And the same for the United States is not going to go to war with Russia without a provocation. So they're building a provocation, whether it's Russia moving their troops to their borders.
There are sanctions.
Or the sanctions, or whether it's the United States. I mean, President Trump has done the most provocative things that I've ever seen in my entire life. But the thing is what's he doing it for? He intentionally knows that in order to get war going that they want, you've got to make steps that will incite a volatile situation that can turn explosive, and the next thing you know, you got bombs going off. And at the same time, though, justify to the American people, well, the bad guy was Russia. Look at what they're doing. They're trying to get involved in Syria. They're trying to take over Syria when we were the ones there trying to overthrow this country. I mean, we got to really face the truth of it. I mean, when we look at what we've done as a nation, instead of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to Yeshua HaMashiach, we have spent our entire time bombing every other country into submission around the world and overthrowing the nations.
And going out into the world with the attitude of Bolton, as you just cited in Armenia, stay out and get out. It's just humanitarian. I said stay out. We are the bullies of the world. Heavens to Betsy. And you know, something recently happened in Syria that could be very bad, and that's what prompted, I think, Putin's harsh words he said, if you Russia is ready to destroy U.S. jets over Syria if the U.S. directed attacks on its airbase in Haymim, Syria, do not stop. He said, this is the final warning. After this, I am going to shoot down area. And I think what prompted this was there were drones being sent to Haymim, H-M-E-Y-M-I-M. I don't know how to say that.
Yes,
Haymim?
Yes, Haymim. And that's exactly right.
And these killed Russian soldiers. But they were primitive. So the Russians, after they delivered injuries to Russian soldiers, they started fighting the drones. And then they said, who is controlling these drones? So they expanded their radar, and they saw a U.S. Poseidon aircraft in the area, so they turned their radar jamming gear upon the Poseidon. Drones dropped from the air, and the drones were armed. They have pictures of the bombs that were aboard the drones. They were armed drones. And now Russia says, you were purposefully building them, saying, oh, they're not ours. These are garbage. These would be made by a primitive people, not sophisticated us. But this is what we're doing.
Right. That's when you know, because the P-8, to begin with, is a spy plane. And, of course, they can navigate anything that they want to do it, you know. But this is when you know that that what's going on is that they're utilizing, as far as the United States, they're utilizing third-party type of material and weaponry in order to make it look like somebody else is the bad guy. That's the way the United States is able to constantly instigate. And of course, you know, Bonnie, when I worked with this government, this is the things that we would do, you know. You take someone out, you silence someone you don't want to spill the beans on what's really going on in our government. And, of course, when you silence them, you make it look like, and I'll say it just like it is, the black community did it. I've seen that. I've heard it. I've sit there in the meeting rooms about it. Make it look like someone else did it. Well, that also applies on a military scale as well. Bomb your enemy, but make it look like somebody else was behind it. ISIS was behind it, or Al Qaeda was behind it, even though you're funding them. But it's what a mess. What a mess.
I think this could be cause for war in and of itself, because these U.S. Poseidon-backed controlled drones are killing Russian servicemen that are on that Haymim base. What do you think our chances of war in the near future are going? I'm not sure. The next meeting with Putin and Trump, were 11. Do you think we're going to make it there that far?
That's a good question. I think that the November 11th meeting is going to be pretty much a last ditch effort to try to warn the United States of things that are going on. And things like the P-8A that was jammed by Russia, that's just now, of course, this happened back in January, and there was a lot of people speculating who was actually controlling the drones. I even wondered if Israel was behind it. But I knew that it was being used to test Russia's ability to be able to respond. And of course, with it being such rogue type of little small, I mean, we're talking about a drone. You're talking about a drone no bigger than a kitchen table as the size drones. But they had big enough little bombs that they had attached to it to come in there and to cause damage and to kill people. So the thing is, I thought it was maybe a test to see if Russia, how they would do. But then again, it's interesting. Russia actually kept this under wrap all this time. I mean, you're talking about nearly a year later, finally Russia's coming out and saying what they did and how they were able to tell who was actually operating the drones. I think Russia is now trying to, you know, they were more than likely trying to save the United States embarrassment by making it public back then. But I think, too, that maybe Russia is also trying to get information out there to the world while there's still availability to do so, to say, look, listen, your government is doing some things that are not right, and you need to know the truth of it because nobody's telling you the truth. So we'll
because
tell you.
War is coming, and we are not the bad guys. Okay, we're going to have to. We went long. We'll go. Stay with us for the second half.
Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Are the days of Zechariah warned of upon us? Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half, and we're just discussing, the U.S.-controlled drones that have killed U.S. servicemen, prompting Putin to tell Bolton that they will, that's the last warning, they will shoot down American aircraft around Syria. No more Poseidon spy planes, no more U.S.-controlled drones doing what they wanted to do in Syria, killing Russian servicemen. And that's the final straw. Does the meeting on November 11 even happen? I don't know. Before November 11, we have November 6, which is the ballot casting day. And we have an invasion from our southern force, our southern border, that last I knew it was approaching 25,000. And do you remember, Stephen, when Judicial Watch located a large Chinese military city just south of our border?
I was not even aware of that.
Yes. I'm afraid that when they get to the border, there are another 40,000 at least Mexican nationals at the north of the border waiting to join this caravan, and they're going to try and border it through Tijuana. Jade Helm, Stephen?
Yes.
In 2015, do you remember the map of everything west of Colorado, Texas, and south of California, Nevada? Do you remember that map?
No, I don't remember the map. I just remember Jade Helm.
There were four delineations that they, occlusions or names or assessments that they gave each state, either permissive or hostile, leaning permissive or leaning hostile. And then there were three areas of red that were enemy territories. The enemy territories were Utah, well, okay, they're right wing. Texas, oh yeah, okay, get your gun, Annie. And also everything south of San Diego, clear to the Arizona border, from the ocean to the Arizona border, and all the things. It was a big rectangular chunk that was delineated hostile. So here we have Utah and Texas. Okay, those are right-wingers, armed right-wingers. I see why they're hostile. But hostile to what? And that became the question. And why would SoCal be hostile? And it was at the time going into, you know, the likes of what Paul Preston and some of the other, you know, news activists down there that are actually risking everything to get the truth out, who is a friend of Dave Hodges, whose father is CIA intelligence, was. They said it's because the cartels run it.
That's interesting.
That is so interesting. Yes. And Paul Preston now has linked Fast and Furious with the ridiculously painted planes, you know, of various airlines that did not exist, flying between Colorado, which was labeled a permissive state, and California, another permissive state, and arming. What the conclusion was, they thought that they were arming, that even back in 2015, under the Obama administration, this southern invasion was going to occur. They were already planning for it. You know, regardless of who won the election, they were already planning for this. This is not spontaneous. This is not give me you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry, you're huddled masses yearning to be free. This is an invasion force for the Reconquista of the Southwest America and the Union of the North American Union. I think that's what they call it. But
so we're basically going to see, like in the case of the Alamo, we're going to see that they're bringing up the forces here to once again take back this southern part of the United States that the United States had taken many years ago. I guess that's the ultimate idea. You know, I will tell you one thing, though, Bonnie. Anytime you go to sea, regardless of what the purpose is all behind this, when you're looking at the fact that you have a force coming that could easily be armed, very well armed by the time they get to the border by the drug cartels there.
Absolutely. And the plan now is, according to a lot of this is from Hal Turner. If $5 a month, you go to Hal Turner Radio Show, become a subscriber. He has cutting edge information. Go to Israeli News Live, Stephen and Yana. They have cutting edge information. Support both of these, because if you want to know, listeners, please support those who give you the cutting edge information, because, you know, I've never seen it like this, and I'm sure, and I know that Stephen would agree with that. But according to Hal's sources, he is a previous NSA and insider. The word to him from people still employed is that the cartels will join the caravan, will join whatever military wants to come through, ISIS, whatever, Chinese, you know, hallelujah, and they will shoot American troops from the rear. A mass tells, and the illegals already here, they are already armed, thanks to Fast and Furious, and they will shoot. Yeah. So you know, this is shaping up to be something, a real problem.
Yes.
Back to you, Stephen.
That's exactly right, you know, because and if you want to take and overthrow a nation, the best time to do to do any type of major war is when the nation's already facing its own conflict. I mean, you have to think about it, Bonnie. What's happening here, or what's about to happen here, is very much like what we as the U.S. government has done around the world. Destabilize the nation from within, cause a bunch of infighting with each other, and then you get it to a point to where the next thing you know, they're taking up arms against one another. This is what they did in Ukraine. It's what we did in Syria. It's what we did in Iraq. You know, it's what's going on in the Congo right now. It's what's going on in, it was what happened in Libya, Egypt, every place. The United States has been involved with the CIA to overthrow these smaller nations. And it's, and by the way, it's only non-nuclear nations that we do this to. We never do this to the nations that have nuclear weapons because, well, that's too big of a risk.
Good point. That's a good point. So, we'll only bully those that aren't armed.
Exactly. I mean, and little bitty helpless nations. I mean, when I worked with the CIA, I mean, we were picking on, you know, all the Central American nations down there, at least the countries that I was involved with, you know. And so it's just, if they're helpless, you know, that's the ones that they're going to overthrow, and or at least keep it to where, in the case of Central and South America, the main thing was the United States needed to make sure that the drugs could come into the U.S. so that we could get the money from the sales of that, launder the money, and then turn around or either take that money. You had to launder the money that you wanted to be able to make the people rich that helped you do this. But then you take the rest of that money and you buy weapons from like in the case of Iran, the Iran-Contra affair. We purchased the weapons to ship weapons then to the Contras fighting down in Nicaragua. And of course, that's to keep the government destabilized, because if you can't get the government to stand with you, like in the case of Noriega, where he actually was easily to be paid off. But when the government can't be paid off and they're trying to fight against the crime, well, then you got to destabilize the nation to be able to make sure you get the flow of drugs so you can have the flow of money to be able to support all the other terror operations around the world. So this is why there's always a destabilization. The same thing with Venezuela. You know, Venezuela, and I've seen, of course, we've seen reports, too, even Russians taking out drugs out of there. So maybe Russia's doing the exact same thing the United States is doing now. They're getting the drugs, bring the drugs into the country, sell the drugs, buy take the cash from all the drugs that you're selling in your country and then use that to buy weapons from a third party and arm another conflict. So is that what's maybe happening here against the United States? What we have done to others is coming back on us.
And we're is exactly what Jeremiah 50:51 says. They shall do to her as she has done to them. Exactly. Excuse me.
It's a good point, Bonnie. And if you think about it, you know, they talk about all the Russian collusion and stuff with President Trump, but yet I see, and I know that there are connections there that people are not aware of. I know about it, but that's a different story, and I can't speak about that as of yet because it's not gone before a federal court yet. But I will tell you this much, though. On the side of the Democrats with Hillary Clinton and her gang there, they definitely have been colluding in there, and we can say that because it's come out already what's been going on. So is it been made to be able to cause a divide in the nation through politics, even though they're friends behind the scene, but it's to give us as the American people this idea that the left is horrible and the left thinks that the right is horrible. And it comes down to a place to where the next thing you know, you end up with some kind of civil unrest in the nation. Well, that's what they want anyway.
Absolutely. They know that our dollar is failing, will fail. We're indebted to the sky unless we nationalize our Federal Reserve loan, illegal Federal Reserve. They don't want to be blamed for the fall. They don't want the world to know that the European bankers are a bunch of thieves because they're trying to set up shop now in China.
That's right.
So the last thing they want to have it revealed patently is that their system does not work. Their system operates so they can plunder tree wherever they're in.
That's exactly right, Bonnie. So this is where we're headed. And unfortunately, people, as you listen, that something bad is going to happen in our nation here. And I can see the destabilizing forces already that are at work. And as you mentioned, China having their huge tent city, maybe China is going to house these people as they come up. So if they still have that available there.
Yeah. At minimum, join them.
Exactly. So, you know, and as Bonnie, I think it was that you that mentioned to me that the Chinese were in Washington, D.C. in this lady's backyard.
Yeah, there was a letter written in that like that. And the topic was, have our federal lands already been given away? And of course, D.C. is D.C. It's not a state. I mean, it's federal land. So exactly. Here they are in D.C. checking out the federal lands. Which house do you want coming?
Well, I think that comes down to this here. The Chinese have bought up most of the mortgage debt in the United States. And so therefore, when the economy collapses, everybody will end up foreclosing. If your house is not paid for, you'll end up in foreclosure.
Absolutely. Do not go into debt, everyone. Pay off your house. And I don't know, your car probably won't work anyway because of an EMP. So pay off your house, though, or else sell it.
Absolutely. You know, and so that's going to be the big issue. I mean, the hot cars to steal then will be all the old cars. All the thieves will be out there stealing the cars from the 70s.
That's right. Isn't it before, what, 1975 or something, that only those cars will work?
Yeah, anything that doesn't have a computer in it would actually function. And the funny thing is, though, Bonnie, if you look online, because I looked, I was thinking about, okay, wow, maybe I should get an old car instead. You know, I figure like in the old days, all right, you get one for $500. No, if it's from those time frames there in the 70s, you're going to pay $4,000 or $5,000. The car was brand new back then. I'm like, you've got to be insane.
Yeah, now they call it classic. I wonder if this was the program, you know, cash for clunkers. I wonder if the federal government was, you know, seizing all these cars that would work because they didn't, you know, refurbish them and they can drive around in whatever they want.
You know, that's a good point. I never thought about that one, Bonnie, but that could really be a real reality check for us. You know, because it is going to be the only thing that's going to work, you know, so geez, who knows? And then again, what's going to happen? Are we going to be attacked? Are we going to do a self-inflicted wound to the nation? Yeah, it's bad.
And, you know, Yehovah told Dudeman that Jeremiah 50:51 was America. Mystery Babylon was the United States. And here it is. It's in Jeremiah 50, 29. Summon archers against Babylon, all those who draw the bow. Encamp, let nobody escape. Repay her, do to her as she has done. So here we have cast our bread as a nation, as a culture, upon the waters, and now it will be repaid to us in every, the whole world coming against us angrily. Who loves us? Hardly anybody. You know, Europe doesn't love us because of, you know, the hardship we put them through because of the sanctions on Russia, and now their heating bills are high, and they're not in favor of, Merkel wasn't going to go along with the sanctions until a plane load of Germans, you have a better scoop on that one than I do, Stephen, a plane load of Germans fell out of the sky by some probably mind-controlled patsy, and, you know, showing that they could do what they want. You march according to our orders, or you don't march at all.
Well, you know, that's exactly right, you know, because a plane fell down in the French Alps. But it was odd because they tried to blame this on the co-pilot, who was an Arabic guy, saying that he had taken over the aircraft and then plunged it into the mountainside. But the thing is, the Boeing plane that this was on has the system in it where Boeing is able to, any aircraft that's considered to be hijacked is able to be taken over by Boeing. They can release a gas in the plane to calm the passengers. They can also release it in the cockpit to sedate the pilot. But in this case, you could hear the screaming of the passengers, but you never heard anything from that co-pilot. And his breathing was very calm. Even when he hit the ground, he never had a raise in respiration. Heartbeat didn't go up. And there was one aviation expert that was a former captain for an airline, and he spoke about that extensively. And he said there was no way that this was a suicide attempt to kill the people on the plane, because he said that particular aircraft that Boeing has was designed for Boeing to be able to take over the plane in the event of this type of a threat, and they could have landed at any airport they want in the world safely, remote controlly. And so, you know, this was a complete setup, and it had a lot of German girls on there that were part of some type, I forget which event they had been coming back from. They had traveled to some event, and a lot of young teenage high school girls were killed on the plane. And, you know, Bonnie, when you were mentioning, too, just a second ago about Putin and the arrows, Dudemon, and quoting from Isaiah 51, it made me think about Putin and the arrows and the olive branch when he speaks about to Bolton, your eagle holds 13 arrows and an olive branch, which with 13 olives, did it eat all the olives and left with only arrows? That's almost like an ominous type of prophetic statement there, that there's no olives left on the branch there, and so therefore it looks like we're going to have to start slinging arrows back the other way. So that's pretty odd, especially because, you know, it is using that verbiage in Jeremiah 51. So I don't know.
Yeah,
don't,
this is getting more complicated as we speak of it. I'm going through Jeremiah 51 now. You know, it says the land trembles, and there is a part here that talks about. We have two kids here, and there was a loud bang, and oh my goodness, that the water, the sea will rise above Babylon, its roaring waves will cover her. So, you know, is this associated with some kind of tsunami, some kind of earthquake, you know, from the Almighty, but the Almighty, you know, it says in Jeremiah 50:51, her sins have reached heaven. I would have healed her. Can't. She didn't. There is no balm that would heal all her wounds. So anyway, we have about less than 5 minutes here. Shall we go to Gaza-Israel border? There was a barrage of missiles, tens of dozens, said Israeli witnesses. Tens of dozens. That's a lot of missiles. Commentators are hazarding that perhaps this was a test run to see how the Iron Dome would function if they were overwhelmed with many missiles at the same time. Do you have anything to say about that, Stephen?
Well, you know, Bonnie, the one thing about it is that I was actually get the warnings on my phone when the missiles are coming into Israel, and there were a dozen that were fired almost simultaneously there. And I guess you could say the Iron Dome was overwhelmed. I mean, we shot down 8 of the 12, so 4 didn't make it in. The only difference is, though, when the rockets are coming in from Gaza, there's no guidance to them. There's no precision attack. If they're going to fire in a particular area, if they want to fire, say, towards Tel Aviv, and that's another issue, too, right now. A lot of the rockets they're firing now do not have that far of a distance capability. Sederot, places like that close by, or is about all they're going. Now, it doesn't mean, though, that Hamas does not have technology that can go further, because we've seen before in wars before between Gaza and Israel, rockets were landing up in Tel Aviv, in southern Tel Aviv. Even one went over the airport at one time once before. So they have had rockets in the past that can go further distances. But at this point right now, everything they're firing at more recently is very short ranged and doesn't go very far. But nonetheless, if they fire enough of them, yeah, you can overcome the Iron Dome or even Israel's air defense system there. But it'll be a lot less damage, but it's still a risk to lives. And because they are so indiscriminate, if you just aim it towards a certain neighborhood and you fire a whole bunch of them, you might hit a house and you may kill some Israelis as a result of it. Israel, you know, they have, though, responded back against Gaza. And, of course, when Israel responds back, Israel drops some pretty heavy-duty bombs. But it was interesting because there was a lot of videos that came out about the different times that they did this. And you can literally see the Iron Dome intercepting these rockets right there in the skies. It's because, of course, it was nighttime already there. And on that first round of those rockets coming in, the Iron Dome did intercept, like I said, 8 of those. Whereas the other ones just landed indiscriminately. And then Israel did retaliate. And then again, later that evening, they began to fire them again. And again, there's another barrage of them. But it makes me wonder, though, what is Gaza's forces really like? Because I haven't seen anything sophisticated like they did back before Israel went in and really back on the last Gaza-Israeli war.
I'm on JewishVirtualLibrary.org, and I'm finding they have 6-mile heavy mortar, 11-mile Qassam rockets, 30 miles Grad rockets. I don't know if any of these rockets are capable of being guided. They also have M75 FAGR-5 Syrian 220 millimeter MM, which is capable of 45 miles. They also have a 100-mile one, M302 long-range rocket. Again, I don't know if any of these. It looks as if the only parts of Israel they can't reach is way down by Eilat or way up north of the Sea of Galilee.
The danger comes in as if Hezbollah gets involved in an exchange with Israel at the same time that Gaza does. That would put the Israelis more at risk, as far as what our people would be going through. Now, the Grad rocket system, that is far more of a danger. But the moment the Grad system comes out, you have to understand the Grad system has to be mounted into a truck. It's a very big rocket system. And of course, a Grad can put out about a dozen rockets, not exactly simultaneously, but very, very rapidly. But they wouldn't be able to move that out of harm's way before Israel could destroy that on a system like that. And of course, you go to bring out a Grad rocket system, you're not going to camouflage that up very well either. That is something used in war scenarios a lot. And of course, if that hits a house, it will do some serious damage and kill a lot of people that happen to be near it. So that's a very dangerous type of system if they have that ability as well.
They probably have more than this that they're not letting, be known. But one short question, we're out of time. Are any of these, guidable?
On all those except maybe the last one that you mentioned that has 100 miles, even that may not have any precision guidance. But the advantage is, though, on the 100 miles, those type rockets there can do a heck of a lot more damage when they can travel that far. And you don't necessarily have to be precision. If you can get it at the right angle and you know you're going to hit a certain city, then the problem is they're not firing at military targets. They are firing at civilian populations for max casualties.
Yes.
That's the danger right there.
That's the sad part. And then the world press, when Israel goes back and hits 80 Hamas targets, then Israel is, again, the bad guy attacking Gaza. Thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen. Please go to Israeli News Live and support Yana and Steve. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. And we shall see you next week, Father willing.
Thank you. Shalom, shalom.